Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the White House call. For the conference, all the participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for your questions. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'll turn the conference over to Ms. Courtney Rowe with the White House press conference. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you, operator, and thank you for everyone for joining the call today. We will get started here shortly. Just a reminder that this call is on the record. There's no embargo for this call. You should be receiving a fact sheet on today's announcements into your inbox shortly. Today you'll be hearing from Jeff Zients and Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. At this time, I will turn it over to Jeff.
Thank you, Courtney, and thank you, everybody, for joining the call. We're here to talk about major progress and next steps by the President to help deliver faster, better broadband to every American in every part of the country. As the President said in this year's State of the Union, 21st century businesses need 21st century infrastructure, and that includes the fastest internet. Americans need access to world-class broadband because so much of the prosperity that we seek and so many of the jobs that we want to create depend on access to the tools of the digital economy. Fast broadband helps small businesses be competitive in this global environment, this global marketplace, and it ensures Americans have the world's information at their fingertips. Fast broadband powers the next generation of startups, not just in Silicon Valley, but all over the country. And as students of all ages learn and collaborate online, they gain the skills needed to land high-paying jobs and join the middle class. The bottom line is access to broadband is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And since the President entered office, he has led an all-hands-on-deck effort within his administration and called on the FCC and Congress to deliver fast, affordable broadband for the American people. In January, the President traveled to Cedar Falls, Iowa, to unveil a series of efforts designed to stoke competition, level the playing field, and unleash new investment in better, faster broadband. And this morning, during his visit to the White House Science Fair, the President announced new milestones in this work. First, the President highlighted new data the Commerce Department just released today to update the national broadband map. The map, the national broadband map, shows what internet options exist block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, across the entire country. What the map and new data will show is that driven by strong private sector investment and smart federal policies, today over 98% of Americans have access to fast 4G mobile broadband. As anyone who has a 4G phone in their pocket knows, 4G technology sets the standard for modern mobile connectivity. But most of us remember when high-speed mobile access was limited to a few markets and out of range for most Americans. In fact, in 2010, that map would have looked really different. Only about 25% or one out of four Americans had access to 4G mobile broadband. So the President challenged the public and private sector to work together to expand 4G access. He set the ambitious goal of 4G wireless coverage for at least 98% of Americans by 2016. And today, thanks to American innovation, private sector investment, and smart government policies, we've hit that 98% target a year ahead of schedule. So clearly, we've made a lot of progress on 4G wireless access to give us fast internet on the move. But there's more work to be done, especially in the area of wired broadband to homes and businesses. In Cedar Falls, the President called for additional steps to increase competition, particularly for wired service, and in turn to deliver faster, cheaper broadband. And we're already seeing results. First, the President expressed his view that the FCC to level the playing field to bring in more broadband competition. So he expressed his view that the FCC should level the playing field to bring in more broadband competition. And just last month, the FCC acted. The commission voted to bring an end to some of the state laws that prevent communities from creating their own broadband service. And today, the President took another important step to make good on his promises in Cedar Falls. by signing a presidential memorandum establishing a new broadband opportunity council. The council will drive an administration-wide effort to promote more broadband investment and adoption by making sure federal programs with the opportunity to invest in broadband are doing so, from public housing to healthcare. The council will also update regulations, speed permitting and approvals, and take other steps vital to building our broadband infrastructure. Let me turn it to Secretary Vilsack, who will co-chair this new council, along with Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker, to give you a little more detail. Tom?
Jeff, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody who was on the call. And certainly would associate myself with Jeff's comments about the important role that broadband will play and is playing in terms of business development and job creation in all parts of the country, and especially in rural areas. I'm looking forward to serving with Secretary Pritzker on the Broadband Opportunity Council. This council will comprise of 25 different agencies and departments of government that will look at strategies and processes that will allow us to complete the mission of expanded access to broadband in homes, businesses, and throughout the United States. And the Opportunity Council will look at how we might better support access to broadband. What, if any, regulatory barriers exist to the deployment and or competitiveness of the marketplace? What tools do we currently have in the public sector, and are we using them most effectively? And based on what we know and what we find out from this Opportunity Council, what next steps we would suggest and propose to the President, the federal government, and the private sector to complete our task. We are required to report back to the President 150 days from today, and we will meet that deadline. Simultaneous with the President's execution of this presidential memorandum, the United States Department of Agriculture continued its commitment and investment in broadband access and in the infrastructure that will create greater access. Today, we announced $35 million of additional infrastructure loans in three states. Southwest Arkansas Telephone Company is going to receive a $25 million loan to upgrade its fiber network and convert a copper system to fiber that will provide for faster communications. The Iowa Midburn Communications Company will receive a $4.7 million loan to upgrade copper to fiber and expand its service offerings in rural Iowa. And the Mescalero Apache Telecom Company in New Mexico will receive a $5.4 million loan to upgrade its fiber service to expand to more than 50% of its service area. And this is the first investment that we are making under the substantially underserved trust area legislation that was passed several years ago. And while it is true that 98% of Americans live in areas where they have access to high-speed mobile access and broadband, it's also true that many rural areas still need help and assistance. That's why this president has led the effort to invest $5.8 billion in loans and grants from the Department of Agriculture in over 500 projects through Farm Bill programs, through our Infrastructure Loan Program, Recovery Act proceeds, as well as our Connect Ed effort. This is helping to expand broadband access and high-speed broadband access to over 1.5 million subscribers. And we look forward later this spring to updating our Farm Bill rule that will provide for additional investments in broadband access in unserved and underserved areas. So this is a good day for innovation and a good day for expanded opportunity to connect U.S. businesses, job seekers, farmers, ranchers, and producers throughout the United States to the rest of the world.
Thanks, Tom. So the President, as you can see, continues to take bold actions to make fast, affordable internet a reality for more and more Americans across the country. We are working every day to make America the best place to start a business and for everyone to get online. With that, why don't we open it up for questions.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question on the call today, please press star, then one. You'll hear a tone indicating you've been placed into queue. If your question gets answered or wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, star one if you have a question. And one moment for our first question. And first in line of Lynn Stanton, Lydia Fiode with Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Thank you for holding the call. I'm curious if you can give us a bit more details on how long this initiative will last and if you're looking at providing additional loans in other rural areas.
Sure.
What amount?
Well, we are in a position with our budget to fund quite a number of projects. We'll have probably 25 to 30 major projects similar to the announcements that we're making today throughout the year through our broadband loan and infrastructure program. When we update the Farm Bill program, that will lead to additional loans. And we also have a distance learning and telemedicine effort directly connecting long-distance learning opportunities and telemedicine opportunities, in which we will probably do several hundred announcements over the course of the next couple of years. So this is a concerted effort, both large and small projects, and at the end of the day, we would expect and anticipate to add to that number of over 500 projects that we've already funded in over 3,400 hospitals and schools that we've been connecting and providing opportunities to.
My next question is from David Lieb with the Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, Secretary. David Lieb at the Associated Press here. I had a two-part question for you. I was wondering, first of all, in that $5.8 billion in loans and grants that you've already awarded to expand broadband access, whether there are any requirements in there to build network redundancies to guard against outages, and whether that would be something that this new council would be looking at, that sort of a requirement.
Let me take a stab at that. We can check to see whether or not there's a condition. I don't believe that we have a redundancy condition as part of the loan or grant program. I think it's more focused on whether or not our resources are helping to expand access to underserved or unserved areas. Our first responsibility is to make sure that people actually have service and that they actually have an opportunity to access higher speed services. But we can check and double check on that. The council obviously is going to take a look at whatever it takes to make sure that we continue the president's direction to ensure that Americans are at the top of the technology game, because as Jeff indicated and as the president well knows, that's key to innovation. It's key to successful marketing of products and goods and services that are being produced in the U.S., and we're finding with our expanding export market opportunities throughout the world, a terrific opportunity to continue to improve this economy. So I think the focus of this council is going to be what do we need to do to better support this industry and provide access to Americans who are currently unserved or underserved.
Our next question is from David Burstein with FastNet News. Please go ahead. David Burstein, your line is open. Possibly take yourself off mute.
Is this better?
Please go ahead.
Hi, David Burstein. I've been writing about this since well before the stimulus began, and I've been looking at the results. I agree with you that the first priority should be first to actually get to people who don't have service. And the question I have is, in the billions that we've spent from RUS and NTIA and the stimulus, about how many people who didn't have service, not underserved, which is a vague term, but actually unserved, were reached for those billions? And if you don't have an answer to the top of your head, I'll be happy to take the answer later.
Tom, I don't know if you have any specific rural numbers. I think in general, we'll follow up and get you that data. Tom?
I would say that the majority of the 1.5 million subscribers that we've benefited and are benefiting are unserved, but I think it would be helpful to get more accurate numbers.
I won't print anything to hear from you, and thank you, and goodbye.
Our next question is from Tony Rahm with Politico. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my question. Just to follow up on that, I guess a two-part question. First, you know, looking at the RUS programs that have provided broadband loans over the years, there have been a number of reports from inspectors general and the Government Accountability Office that have said that, you know, the agency doesn't have mechanisms in place to measure its progress and at times has lacked in oversight. What have you guys done to ensure this money and this new effort that you're putting forward today has the appropriate checks to deliver the broadband service that, you know, you guys are touting so much during this call?
Two things. One, significant oversight during the recovery process that the vice president led. I keep track on a monthly basis of each of the loans and grants and the status. I can tell you that of the resources committed to the Recovery Act, we started with around 300 projects that would expand access. We were convinced during the course of a year or so that some of these projects were not going to meet the goals that we had set, and so they were essentially disqualified from participation because of that oversight. I can tell you that as of today, roughly 85% of the resources that were budgeted, if you will, for these projects have been actually expended. We follow each project on a project-by-project basis, and they're roughly, at this point in time, we're facing the need to complete our work by September 30th based on the Recovery Act. There are roughly 40 projects or so that I'm particularly focused on. Given the fact that in the previous administration there were issues involving loans that were done through the Farm Bill program, which is different than the Recovery Act, we are in the process of finalizing the rules and regulations for future Farm Bill loans, which will, I think, tighten up significantly the concerns that you've mentioned, which have been primarily focused on the Farm Bill loans, not the recovery loans.
And ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, if you do have a question, please press *1, and we'll go to Lynn Stanton with PR Daily. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you clarify on the program that you said was a program funded a few years ago, that the announcements that you're making today are under, why it's taken several years to get around to making any loans under it, because you said these are the first?
I think you're a bit confused here. We are making loans under existing programs announced today and have been throughout the last 6 years, which is why we're confident we've invested in over 500 projects. I'm making reference to the fact that we have a Farm Bill loan program that required Congress to pass a Farm Bill, which it did last year. We have been in the process of implementing the new Farm Bill regulations and rules. There were roughly 450 different actions that we had to take in order to implement the Farm Bill, and we are part of that is implementing the new rules and regulations for improvements to the Farm Bill loan program for broadband. But in the meantime, there are still existing actions and existing decisions that we continue to make, which is why we're confident making the announcements today.
And next we go to Janelle Blom with Farm Progress. Please go ahead.
Hi, Secretary Vilsack. I was just wanting to know if you could elaborate a little bit more on how this will impact farmers and ranchers specifically.
One of the key opportunities in agriculture is the use of data, both open data and big data, and the opportunity for information to be aggregated to provide farmers additional information on how best to increase productivity. Once they become more productive, then the key is marketing. In many parts of the country, farmers are still getting information concerning market prices with a slight delay relative to the market. High-speed broadband provides them real-time information from which to make decisions, real-time information by which elevators that are pricing product on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis can ensure that farmers are getting a fair price and the market price for whatever it is they're selling on that particular day at that particular time in the day. So there are opportunities to improve productivity and also ensure that the marketing of crops is fair and honest to the producer.
Great. And with that, operator, we're going to need to close the call. Thank you again to everyone for joining. Again, just a reminder, this call is on the record, and you all should have received a fact sheet. And if not, please follow up with the USDA press office or with the White House comms press office. Thanks very much.